nonsense here, Box. After all,
Hey, look at the beak.
Hey, fly us, Snoop.
Hey, Bullpaws.
Thanks, Snoop.
Stop calling me names.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Donner, you should be ashamed of yourself. What a pity. He had a nice takeoff, too.
All right, now, Yannings, back to practice. Oh, no, not you. You better go home with your folks. From now on, gang, we won't let Rudolph join in any reindeer games, right?
Right. Santa has a list of good and bad children. The good children will get lots of presents. And so it turns out, will the bad children. In fact, the only ones who won't get very much are the poor children. That's because Santa judges a child's goodness based largely on parental income.
I remembered what I did with the money, the $8,000.
Well, that's great, Uncle Billy. Well, what'd you do with it?
I was in the bank. I had it in a newspaper. I remember giving it to someone.
Who'd you give it to?
No, wait. Now, I just called Clarence at the bank. He told me that old man Potter deposited exactly $8,000 right after I left. It was him!
Well, what are we waiting for? Let's go get it.
Where were you?
You're double-crossed me and you left me alive.
Now, wait just a second. I'll give you the money back.
I don't want the money. I want a piece of you, Potter.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to my new submarine lair. It's long and hard and full of semen. Nothing?
No?
Not even a titter. Tough sub.
Good morning, America. How are you? I'm Rabbi Dave.
Good morning. I am Friar Rod.
I am... I don't even know how to say... I'm hungover.
You're hungover?
Oh,
did you,
man.
Drink too much last night?
Not last... Well, I guess last night. It started yesterday afternoon. I had two Christmas events yesterday. We had the Subvets Christmas party, which... alcohol was involved with, but it wasn't supposed to be the focal point, obviously.
Yeah.
And I was having a moment of stress because, you know, the base commander and things weren't going right. And one of my members handed me a small bottle of rum chata, which I love.
Rum chata. Can't say that I've ever had it.
Oh, it's good. So it started with that. And then... by last night, we had a family Christmas dinner because for weird reasons, my extended family celebrates Christmas early. I could spend hours explaining it, but it's pointless. Bottom line is that we had our extended family Christmas dinner last night, which involved a murder mystery thing.
Okay.
And they assigned characters. But they're all characters from famous Christmas TV specials, I guess, or movies.
So who'd you get?
Well, my wife got the Sugar Plum Fairy.
Okay.
And my aunt was Santa's helper. And I got the Grinch. Randomly, of course. So one of the things my card said is, take advantage of people not paying attention and go around the room and remove Christmas decorations, anything Christmassy or festive, and hide it. So I did, which upset my cousin-in-law, my cousin's wife, because she did not know that I was supposed to do this. And I actually managed to get a tree out.
Wow.
At one point. Made me feel pretty good. The only thing I didn't do was slither across the floor to get it.
Sure.
But the best part of this is, I should send you the picture so you could see it, because I don't think I can hold it up. and show it to you. But let me send you this scintillating radio here, I know, but I'm going to send this to you because you'll get the point. So this was my masterpiece right here. It's coming across on signal right now. See if you can tell what I did.
You absconded with the Lord.
With the baby Jesus.
Out of the nativity.
The best part of this is not only did he get the baby Jesus out of the nativity, but nobody noticed.
Oh.
So during the after cleanup and everything, when we were putting everything back, I did not put the baby Jesus back. And I'm of two minds here. Should I see if they notice? Or should I send a ransom note signed The Grinch?
Oh, the ransom note. Right. The ransom note, most definitely.
If you want your baby Jesus back, you will provide me with the following items.
Rum chata.
Rum chata and my aunt's pecan pie, which I had too much of.
So did they finally figure you out?
Oh, yeah. Everybody got outed as their names eventually. And, of course, the crime, and we'll talk about this in a minute, the person who killed Mrs. Claus was Rudolph.
Okay.
Because, well, we'll talk about that when we get to the main subject here in a minute. Anyway, the point is during all of this that I was on a rum kick yesterday for some reason. I think it started with the rum chata, and it went downhill from there. By the evening, I was just taking straight shots of rum. And man, am I hungover. My head hurts.
I'm sorry, Dave.
And I have been up since 6:15. Go ahead.
With a headache.
Ask me why.
Why have you been up since 6:15? Cats?
Why do you think I've been up since 6:15?
Or Ben wanting breakfast.
Cats. Oh, no, Ben didn't go to bed until like 5 in the morning.
Okay, so you're good for a while on that one.
Right. No, this is all cats. Both, two of the three cats jumping on me this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Feed us. Yeah. So I had to go do that because, of course, nobody else was going to. So anyway, I've been up and I'm sort of, I don't know, man, my head hurts. I don't feel bad, but my voice kind of sounds a little today. Yeah. This is a great way to go out on the year.
Yeah, well.
Which seems so arbitrary. I've never figured out this calendar thing. We always have this end of the year retrospectives. I used to hate that on radio. Oh, the top 10 stories of the year. Why, does the news stop at, you know, between Christmas and New Year's? Does the news just stop? Or
It's like listening to a musical masterpiece that doesn't play the final note, right? It leaves it hanging. So I think it's the end of the year stuff. You kind of just to reflect and revisit and kind of reminisce about what happened this year. And I think that's what it is.
It's like a chord that doesn't resolve.
That's exactly right.
Big old plagal cadence at the end of a...
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows what a plagal cadence is, right? Everybody knows. Okay, good.
So sure. Yeah.
So you get the four chord and then it just holds and stops and everybody goes, wait.
Yeah.
Which brings me to the point of the day, which is, of course, Christmas films. Because there were so many characters from the Christmas films last night, we had all these.
Of course.
We had Scrooge. We had Wendy from Peter Pan, which makes no sense to me at all because that's not a Christmas movie.
No, it's not. Well, I mean, other than was it snowing? No, it wasn't snowing.
We had the Ice Queen. We had Rudolph, of course, the Sugar Plum Fairy. We had Santa's Helper and somebody else. I don't remember who it was now. Sorry, Ruth Ann, I don't remember your character's name. At any rate, so we're going through all these movie characters. And of course, everybody has their own interpretation of how these movie characters or these TV characters interact with Christmas. And of course, I get the Grinch, which still not actually buying. That'd
be the best one to play, though. I mean, if you're going to have to be a character, I'd rather be the Grinch than Rudolph.
Me too, because A, I'm not the murderer, And on B, I get to hide crap.
You get to try it.
As far as I know, I'm the only character that had any that characteristic where I'm grabbing stuff and hiding it surreptitiously. I was the only one doing that. So
that's pretty funny.
And according to the thing, my character has a thing, the Grinch, mm-hmm. has a thing for Cindy Lou Who.
Of course.
But there is no Cindy Lou Who in the game. But I didn't know that. So I'm looking around the room for who's Cindy Lou Who, because I got to go put the moves on Cindy Lou Who. But I keep saying, who's Cindy Lou Who? And everybody says, or I keep saying, who's Cindy Lou? And everybody goes, Cindy Lou Who? And I said, exactly. And that went on for...
Cindy Lou Who was on first.
The better part of a drunk 45 minutes. Anyway. But it got me thinking about Christmas movies and why Christmas movies are so socialist. Borderline communistic.
What? Wait. Okay. Let's dive in.
So Rudolph commits the murder.
Yes.
What do you think Rudolph's motivation for killing one of the Clauses is?
I don't know. That didn't feed him or something? I don't know.
Well, ultimately, it's because Rudolph was so abused by the capitalist system that he snapped.
Is that seriously what it said?
Pretty much, yeah. But what I pointed out to Rudolph when I was interrogating him was, you know, look, I'm just saying. If Santa knows who all the good girls and boys are and all the bad boys and girls are, he knew you were being tormented and abused
mm-hmm.
by the elves and the other reindeer. He knew. And he let it happen. Which was the moment I should have realized that Rudolph was the killer. But I didn't. Because yes. I was probably 6 rum and cokes deep at that point.
3 sheets to the wind.
Yes. So I was still trying to blame Scrooge for everything. So
and looking for Cindy Lou Who.
Right. Just looking for Cindy Lou. Who? But yeah. I mean, think about this. Think about the special Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Santa Claus knows. He has a list of who's good and who's bad, but somehow we're supposed to believe he doesn't know that Rudolph is being mistreated by Comet and Blitzer and Donner and Fred.
So let's, you know, taking devil's advocate, maybe he knows good and bad in general relativity. He doesn't know actual deeds.
What do you mean?
So
he knows
so
who's
basically,
good and bad. Aren't the deeds going to be good or bad?
It's a red light, green light, right? So he has like a, you know, when he looks at somebody or looks at someone's name, he just knows they're bad. He doesn't know what they've done.
See, I don't think that's the truth. I think the proof is in the pudding that Santa is a socialist, or at least a capitalist abuser. Because reality is, all the good boys and girls get toys, right?
Yes.
But the reality is, all the bad boys and girls get toys, too. Who is it that doesn't get toys on Christmas? It's the poor kids. Because what Santa Claus is really judging is economic value, not actual actions, right?
He's not delivering toys to bad kids, at least in theory.
In theory, but in truth, you know some bad kids.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying their parents, the parents give toys to both the good and the bad kids. That would have been an interesting thing to do in a family.
Yeah.
My sister, my younger sister, whose birthday is today, wouldn't have received anything.
Are you saying your sister was bad?
She just made poor life choices. Yeah.
Maybe we should share. Never. At any rate. So there's Santa Claus. Right?
Yeah.
Rudolph. The Muppet Christmas Carol. Every time the workers try to organize and try to accomplish things that will benefit the workers, who is it that's sucking up to the capitalist? Bob Cratchit. He's always making excuses for him, isn't he? Oh, he's a good man at heart.
He's just anti-union.
Maybe, but that's anti-workers, right? It's anti-socialist.
Oh, anti-socialist, yeah.
In a film that's full of characters who are trying to socialize and unionize and promote the values of the workers and get rid of the capitalist swine, it's Bob Cratchit that keeps stopping him from doing it.
Yeah.
Frosty the Snowman? Have you figured out yet why the parents murdered Frosty the Snowman?
No, go ahead. Go ahead and enlighten me.
Well, you know they murdered him, right?
Yeah, they turn the heat on.
Right, and right. He melts. And all that's left is his hat.
Well, he said he'd be back again.
Well, so did Jesus, but we all know that's not happening, at least not until I get my pumpkin pie, or my pecan pie.
And baby Jesus gets back into the manger.
Because of his pro-trans agenda, that's why.
Okay, how's Frosty pro-trans?
Clearly, he was trying to convert people into snowmen. But of course, the worst of all of these films, the most socialistic, communistic film of all of these, is It's a Wonderful Life.
Hey, that's a classic.
Why is it a classic? Who's the bad guy in It's a Wonderful Life?
Besides the fact that it plays every year and it lasts, three hours?
Because we gotta do some, what's the word for it? Oh, yeah. Indoctrination. Who's the actual bad guy in It's a Wonderful Life?
Well, so they had Potter being the bad guy.
Right, but he's not really the bad guy. The bad guy is actually Jimmy Stewart's character, and I've completely drawn a blank on his name. George, whatever his name is. George, he's the bad guy. You understand that, right?
Well, so from the article that you shared with me, yes, I understand that, which is going to change the way I view this show for the rest of my life. So thank you very much.
You're welcome. The Baileys are always bad-mouthing the Potter, Mr. Potter, because he's mean. Henry Potter, by the way, is a board member of the savings and loan.
Yes.
Which means that he's an investor. He's a stockholder. Do we ever learn that directly from the Baileys? Do the Baileys ever say,
no.
You know, if it wasn't for Mr. Potter, we couldn't even have this savings and loan. They never tell us that, do they?
They don't.
All they do is tell us this, communist claptrap about how bad businessmen are and how evil and selfish they are, right?
They do portray him as being bad when he holds on to the money that he was accidentally given. So, right. I mean, there's that, right?
Potter only wants to close on the building and loan, and he tricks the uncle into leaving the money because he wants to get his hands on it. Like the Grinch.
Yeah.
Potter responds, however, with some rather inconvenient facts. The building and loan has been making bad business decisions, providing what we now call subprime loans to people who cannot pay them back. So in other words, George Bailey, the man who's running the savings and loan, played by the inimitable Jimmy Stewart, is a moron when it comes to running the business. And yet,
he should have gone to college.
Hero. Right. Yet, exactly, should have gone to college. let's see. Since the business does not appear to be a publicly traded company, the most likely explanation is that Peter Bailey asks Potter for more capital, just as George Bailey does later in the film. In between rounds of disparaging Potter as a greedy capitalist, which would be perfectly consistent with today's progressives, who rail against capitalists on one side of their mouths while sucking up to them for money for the other side of their mouth.
That's exactly right.
Anyway, Peter Bailey had a fiduciary duty to run the business for maximum profit for Potter and the other stockholders, but did not do so, as we learn in the film. It's nobody can pay their mortgages. Right?
Yeah, that's
and this
right.
is going to put the thing to the wall. I know, because I've been in this play.
Were you? What part?
I played the radio host. I did the radio version.
Okay.
And I was typecast as a radio host. Didn't really help my career much, but you know.
Well, you got the face for it.
It's what happens when you get typecast. Anyway. if Potter's houses are so bad, why do people choose to live in them? It's constantly implied that Potter's customers have no other choice, but why does it exactly this mean? Why has no one else, including any of the other businessmen on the board of the Bailey Building and Loan, developed their own rental properties that are higher in quality and lower in price, or both? Why?
Good question.
Exactly. The inescapable truth is that Potter is wealthy because he provides a product that most satisfies his customers' preferences for quality and price. If there were an opportunity to provide a higher quality product at a lower price, a competitor would do so, which is what we call capitalism.
That is right.
But of course, that doesn't happen in the film because the film promotes socialist and communistic values, which means that in the 1950s, Congress was right to go after it. Because remember, they did.
They went after it?
Yes. Yes. The Baileys burn with resentment that so many residents of Bedford Falls prudently choose to live in Potter's less expensive housing than they can, buy a house they can't afford, financed by the Baileys' Ponzi scheme. Thus, even after shirking their fiduciary duty to run the business properly, the Baileys spend decades assaulting Potter's character in a transparent attempt to lure away his customers. Dun, 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 dun. When the Depression hits and the savings and loan is exposed for the fractional reserve fraud that it is, Potter offers to come to the rescue with a generous offer to buy it out. And then we get the run on the Bailey finance and loan. Mm-hmm. We must give the devil his due. George Bailey, the ultimate huckster, saves the building and loan without Potter's help, convincing the yokel mob making a run on his business to keep their money tied up in his fundamentally insolvent confidence game.
Yeah. Which brings what's us funny that people don't realize it's such a scam.
This brings us to the one regrettable act Potter is guilty of, which is concealing the $8,000 from the incompetent Billy Bailey. It is true that this is an underhanded act, although it was not unprovoked. We don't know how much Potter had invested in the building and loan, but one could make the case that it was more than $8,000 and maybe he was just getting his money back. Maybe he saw that as his money. Did you ever think of that?
It could be.
Nevertheless, two generations of the Baileys have led a decades-long assault on Potter's good name, resulting in the townspeople hating him, even though he has quite literally saved their lives on numerous occasions. Without him, a large portion of the town would be unemployed, have nowhere to live, or even both.
It's That's why when he's like in his dream sequence, it's Pottersville, right?
Right. Without exaggeration, most of these people exist because of Mr. Potter. Dun, 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 dun.
The commenters didn't like this guy who wrote the article.
Is he wrong?
After reading it, I think he's right on many levels.
Isn't that weird that it's right about it?
Yeah. From a libertarian standpoint, I'm like, yeah, he's got some great points there. I mean, Mr. Potter did do the kind of dastardly deed and held on to the $8,000, which he knew was not technically his. It was.
Unless he had that much invested.
Well, but
and he knew the thing was going to go belly up.
Yeah, if he knew, I mean, he knew it was going to go belly up. It's still going to go belly up.
Had he been prosecuted for keeping the $8,000, which may have been tricky from a legal standpoint, given that Billy Bailey handed the money to him,
mm-hmm.
he could have easily pled temporary insanity caused by psychological warfare waged against him by the Baileys. We will never know because before Potter has any opportunity to allow his passions to cool and clear up the misunderstanding, George Bailey sets off in his suicidal melodrama. Followed by a long self-aggrandizing hallucination about angels and how Bedford Falls would be worse off without him. Which obviously isn't true. It would be worse mm-hmm. off without Mr. Potter.
It would be, yeah.
Anyway, the same yokels he previously conned during the Depression are now bailing him out once more, foreshadowing so many future bailouts of dishonest financiers whose assets should have been turned over to better management in bankruptcy court. Which means that this whole film that everybody loves because, when a bell rings, an angel gets his wings. Right?
Yeah. Oh, Zuzu.
Is just so much communist claptrap. And yet, how many of you people listening to this right now are going to sit down in front of your television screens this winter season and watch this nonsense?
Well, I'm definitely going to watch it in a different light, but I'm going to prioritize Die Hard first.
Of course. Of course you are. And I will prioritize the Muppet Christmas Carol because I like seeing unions getting busted.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to have to watch that. I have to add that to my list because that's actually the better version of it anyway.
It's the best version of it. It's the one that follows the actual book the most. I like the one with Albert Finney.
Mm-hmm.
There's a great song in there about, you know, thank you very much for dying. And they're dancing on his casket, which I just love that scene. I don't know why, but it touches me in ways that other things don't. But beyond that, no, I'd much prefer that. So anyway, there you go. There's your public service lesson for this year.
So most holidays, send your comments to WTF@whatthefrock.org because we would like to.
No.
Post on Facebook.
Post it on Facebook. Don't send us emails. Those don't help.
Well, I'd like to read them.
You can read them on Facebook.
Well, okay. I don't like how Facebook handles our page, though, because I go to look at the page and it switches right. Profiles
gotta,
automatically.
Yeah, it switches. Not only does it switch the profiles, but then you got to go to Meta Business to read the comments.
Yeah, it's so stupid.
Unless, now here's the little trick. Stay in your own profile and just go to the page. Don't switch. Mm-hmm. And you can read them normally.
It auto switches. Whenever I go to view the page, it auto switches to the profile.
Well, it sounds like that sounds like the kind of problem you should borrow some money from Mr. Potter to fix.
Yeah, right.
Sounds very communistic to me. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Dave.
I'm Rod.
And this, of course, is What the Frock, the final episode of 2023.
It has been a ride.
It's been a weird year, hasn't it?
It has been.
And, of course, now OSHA is investigating Santa Claus for the hazards of his work. We're not going to have time to get into this. 2015, a pair of researchers published a paper in the Journal of Occupational Medicine and Toxicology. Discussing the occupational health of a Santa Claus.
Well, I mean, he is kind of the extreme COVID spreader, isn't he?
He would be, right. The 2015 paper written by Sebastian Straub and Zhijing Fan.
Is this a Chinese paper?
Well, it's the Journal of Occupational Medicine and Toxicology. And of course, here's the thing that kills me about this. Clearly, this paper is tongue-in-cheek.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, it is. And yet, it has produced, quote-unquote, tons of research, government-funded.
Of course.
To see what we can learn from the dangers of being a Santa Claus.
It's good to be in science.
It's more communist claptrap. That's all that is.
Mm-hmm.
But it won't matter because apparently the world's going to end.
What?
Do you know this?
We're all going to die, Dave?
But apparently the world is going to end. This came to light this week because the Zuck was outed for building a $100 million compound. Is that right?
I think it was $200 million.
It was a lot. I know that. It's a huge compound that he has built. I got the link right here. I could just click on it and see.
You could just click on it.
$270 million Hawaiian compound that will include its own village and huge underground bunker. Documents have revealed that Zuck's top secret, well, not anymore, Hawaiian compound is about to become even more extravagant He's dropping $270 million on multiple mansions, an entire village. How would you like to live there, speaking of Mr. Potter? How would you like to live in Zuck's Village?
Zuck Village. Zuckville.
Zuckville.
Zuckburg.
Why would you even live there?
The Shire of Zuck.
Seriously, what are you going to do if you live in Zuckburg?
Where do you go shopping? Is he going to have stores, too? If he's having a village, is he going to have stores?
Well, it's a village. I mean, of course it would have some sort of store, right?
Well,
probably a 7-Eleven or something, but... But really, I mean, would you live there?
I wouldn't.
What if he let you live there for free? What if it was a bunch of cheap Bailey and Loan crap houses that were, you know, cheap and...
Yeah, but I bet you give up your right to privacy.
Right, but you're close to Zuck, who's rich and powerful. It's just the capitalist taking over again.
It's just data in human form, dude.
Right. Anyway, he's going to build an entire village, a 5,000 square foot underground bunker for his own estate. His over-the-top project will be one of the largest personal constructions of all time, which has people screeching all over the internet.
So King Herod's building a mansion?
What does he know about what's about to happen? I'm not going to point any fingers or name any names, but many of the talking head people in the conservative side of talk radio have been going on about this for now.
Civil War.
Too long. Something big is about to happen, and they know it. But they're not telling you. So I'm going to tell you that something big is about to happen, and they know it. I don't, but I'm going to tell you anyway.
Sure.
Generates ratings. It generates conversation. Generates interest. So is something big about to happen?
Hopefully Facebook posts.
Yes.
So we can talk about Zuck on his own platform. Yeah.
So is something big about to happen?
I just know that the conservative commentators have been talking about Civil War, and now there's movies coming out about
Civil War. Right, now there's movies about Civil War, and there's movies, there's the Obama movie about the end of the world because white people can't be trusted, which is an actual line from the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Don't trust white people. Obama is the executive producer of this movie, and of course, this movie ends the world
by... He's such an effing racist.
Well, you know, I mean, why wouldn't he be? At the same time, if you can make millions more, so here's the part that doesn't fit the agenda to me. The rich, powerful people know that something is coming.
Uh-huh.
So they're fleecing us for more money before that isn't going to be worth anything after this big thing happens?
Well, you know, they got to build their luxury mansion somewhere, somehow.
Why does Obama, if he knows the end of the world is coming, have a beachside palisade in Martha's Vineyard?
Well, I don't know, but I know he's short a chef.
Sorry, I almost snorked my coffee there. Chefs are a dime a dozen, man. Come on.
Find one of those anywhere, Dave. Not like this one.
Find chefs anywhere. They're easy to find. I don't know. I'm just, again, it's easy. It's like A Wonderful Life. It's easy to demonize Mr. Potter until you stop and think about it. It's easy for us to sit here and go, well, something big is about to happen. The Overton window is shifting, right? the end of all things is coming. Until you stop and think about it and go, well, wait. Maybe Zuckerberg, and I know this is kind of a technical way of looking at things, Zuckerberg might just be batshit crazy.
He could be. He could be building his retirement home. Maybe he's going to like divest himself once he finishes building it. And he's got his village to, you know, manage things.
Can you imagine growing up as Zuckerberg's kid?
Oh, gee.
Your life would be so bad.
Yeah.
I just can't even imagine how well that would go. Anyway, so Zuckerberg.
So the question is, does Zuck's kids, do they get a phone or a social media account? I bet they don't.
I bet they don't either. So let's see, where is this thing? doesn't even say which island it's on.
Titillating
Hawaii
radio.
Compound, which features. Well, it's on the oldest island, Kauai. They bought 110 acres, and there's this isn't the island that was that had the fire.
No.
So they're adding to the couple's 1,300-acre, $100 million luxury estate. I got to be honest, man. Unless this thing had a huge library, what would you do in a $100 million estate?
Well, is he going to have is he going to have a cluster of servers there, too, so that he can, like,
he's going to have to. Somebody's going to have to do this work. You know, he's not doing it.
Yeah.
You know, his wife certainly isn't doing it.
Yeah.
So... But I guess the question is, does it mean that the end of the world is coming? And how long is it going to take to build this $270 million bunker? Because obviously they can't end the world if they're in control of this stuff. They can't end the world
if he's still building it. So it's when he's done building it, that's when we should be concerned.
Exactly. And when the Obamas actually move out of Martha's Vineyard.
Mm-hmm.
Because if climate change is going to cause the oceans to rise... giant tsunamis and earthquakes, that's going to get wiped out. Well, so will this, right? It's right on the beach.
Yeah.
No, I'm serious. This is right on the, it's right on the edge of the beach of the island of Kauai.
Yeah. So doesn't that make sense to build an underground bunker?
On the beach?
When the sea's going to rise?
Right. I mean, again, this is what I'm talking about. All these people tell me, oh, it's the end of the world, these things are happening. What do these people know? Well, they obviously don't know that you don't build bunkers underwater.
It's an underground sub-base, Dave. This is an evil lair, is what it's going to be. It's going to be the Zuck evil lair. Yes. Because he has billions of dollars.
My underwater submarine lair.
With a pit of sharks with lasers on their heads.
Anyway, those are the things that I sit here and listen to all this stuff because I do listen to other shows. And I think to myself, nobody's thinking.
Uh-uh.
Why would you build a beachside underground bunker if you think the damn island's going to be underwater?
Yep.
Crickets, man. That's what you get. But they know something. Rod, they know something. They know something's coming, and they're not telling you. Because they're not telling you, you're still out here still watching capitalist or socialist claptrap like
it's a wonderful life. Is he building a wall too? Is he putting a wall around it?
I'm sure he is. You can't have a $270 million state without a wall around it, right?
Yeah, you'd think.
Because you might let people in that shouldn't be there. That would be a problem.
As I perused the news this week and trying to figure out what's the best thing to add to our WTF stories, I came across an article that I'm not going to go into detail about, but Dave, we're destroying the environment by breathing, just so that you know. This show is destroying the environment. But the one I really want to get into is that there was a Pittsburgh man visiting a state. Dave, what state do you think he was visiting?
Oh, I'm going to guess. I mean, it's so hard. There's so many to pick from, so it obviously has to be Florida.
Bingo. So he was arrested and charged.
West Virginia.
Yeah, Yeah, West Virginia. He was arrested and charged, Dave. And why, you might ask, would he be arrested and charged?
Why, indeed?
Well, it is because he was throwing fried alligator bites across the restaurant. And then as he was leaving raucously, he sexually molested a manatee statue out in the parking lot. Deputies were called.
Are you sure it was a statue?
Yeah, it was. Deputies were called after reports of an intoxicated man making a disturbance. The man was asked to leave the restaurant after being told he had paid his bill and became upset. He became physically aggressive with an employee and started to throw fried alligator nuggets across the dining room area before he fled. Once he left, he sexually assaulted the plastic manatee statue located in the parking lot. Again, officials asked him to leave.
They asked him to leave?
They asked him to leave, and they called the cops.
Wow.
You got to be... How many rumchadas to the wind do you have to be before you sexually assault a manatee?
I'd have to be a lot more than that. I mean...
Were you manatee assaulting drunk last night, Dave?
No, I was not. Although if I could have found Cindy Lou, who knows? But...
Lou who?
Right, exactly. I turned on my news this week, online, of course, because, I don't know, it's the kind of thing I do. And I thought to myself, you know, it's basically, what is it, a little over a week before Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Things start calming down. The government all leaves town because, you know, they're, why work when you can go home and not, you know, do things that are whatever. And, you know, it's just that kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
It's just that kind of, so I turned it on, not really expecting a whole lot of anything.
Then boy, were you surprised.
Boy, was I surprised. Because the first thing I got hit with was, here, Dave, watch the full 4-minute video link is in the description of the Senate staffer having gay sex in the Senate hearing room in Washington, D.C. at the Capitol. I did not click on the link.
Was it riveting?
But it came with enough pictures, and there are enough pictures out there that you can kind of get the gist of what went on. Senate staffer A gets boinked in the ass by somebody else. We'll just call that person B. In the hearing room at the Capitol in Washington, D.C. You following me here?
Mm-hmm.
Two people had filmed sex in the Senate hearing room at the Capitol in Washington, D.C. I don't think I can emphasize this enough.
It's not the first time people have taken it in the backside in that room.
Probably not. I do appreciate the effort on the joke. But I need to emphasize this. Two people filmed themselves having sex in the Senate hearing room at the Capitol building in Washington, D.C.
And posted it online somewhere.
And posted it online. Where, of course, it was leaked.
Mm-hmm. Leaked.
Which raises all kinds of questions because who leaked it and why? Or did some other staffer find it accidentally, of course,
quote unquote,
and say, hey, I know that guy. And that sure looks like the Senate hearing room in the Capitol building in Washington, D.C.
Because I don't know what that looks like.
Well, I didn't.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, I do now.
So how did that happen?
Well, didn't both people have to have clearance to be in there? Right? The staffer would.
You can't really go into the Capitol building anymore without... Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe they had a bag of cocaine and they were dropping it off for somebody.
Yeah, we do know that for all the cameras that they have in there, they still haven't caught the cocaine person. So.
Right. So I need to emphasize this again, because I need you to understand. I need you to be outraged about what I'm outraged about. Two people filmed themselves having sex in the Senate hearing room at the Capitol building in Washington, D.C. And this appalls me.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I learned by turning on the news?
What?
That
what
my being appalled at the fact, the unarguable, indisputable, unquestioned fact that two people filmed themselves having sex in the Senate hearing room at the Capitol building in Washington, D.C., means that I am homophobic.
Is that what the gist of the article was?
That's not just the gist of the article. That's the actual tweet of one of the people who was filmed having sex in the Senate hearing room at the Capitol in Washington, D.C.
Because
if this upsets you,
yeah,
it's because you're homophobic.
So that's the way they try and cancel the argument, right? So not to actually have a discussion about it. They say they just label you a bigot is what they're saying so that, you know, they get you to go away.
It's like if you bring up the fact that Henry Potter is the hero of It's a Wonderful Life, people stare at you like, what are you, crazy?
Or telling a bunch of flat earthers that the world is actually round and your steam-powered rocket's not going to work.
Splat. So that's what I learned, right? I learned that the fact that two people filming themselves having sex in the Senate hearing room at the Capitol in Washington, D.C., being offensive to me means that I am homophobic. So, now, I would like to point out, additionally, that I did not say anything about this. I didn't tweet anything about this. I didn't repeat any. I didn't say a damn word about it.
Wasn't the staffer also fired? I mean, because that kind of tells you that, hey, he shouldn't have been doing what he was doing.
My understanding, I haven't seen anything that says you had fired. I did see a clip of the senator for whom he is a staffer on the floor of the Senate, not in the hearing room where his staffer was filmed getting reamed, made a speech saying that if anybody is upset about this, it's because they're homophobic. See, if you were just okay with gay sex, this wouldn't be outrageous.
Yeah, great.
It's not the fact that I'm upset about somebody having sex in the Senate, which I'm sure has happened before. I'm not, but they filmed it and put it on the internet.
Yeah.
To gaslight me into outing myself as a homophobe because this bothers me. Which has led to an important decision, Rod.
Uh-oh.
I'm not going to watch any more news for the rest of the year. Because A, something big is supposed to happen, and I don't want to know about it. And B, I'm afraid of learning anything about myself at this point that might, you know, not fit with my worldview. Which could cause me all kinds of problems.
Maybe.
So there you go. I'm a homophobe. And that's the kind of thing that makes me say,
WTF?
Welcome back. I'm Rabbi Dave.
I am Friar Rod, and it has been quite a year.
It has been a year, and as it winds slowly to its inevitable end, I was intrigued by your other non-WTF story about breathing is bad for the atmosphere.
Yeah.
I've had this theory for a long time.
Have you?
I have. Why do you think weight loss programs are so remarkably unsuccessful?
They didn't have Ozempic? I don't know.
Well, see, as someone who has prescribed Ozempic, because I'm diabetic, I can assure you that Ozempic does shit for weight loss.
Well, you're just not getting the right dosage, Dave.
No, I'm pretty much on the maximum dosage you can take, so... Because I have really bad A1C.
Sure.
And I walk 5 to 7 miles a day. I don't... I'm not, you know, going to sit here and tell you I eat perfectly, but I don't eat badly by any stretch of imagination. So I make my own bread, which was going to be a story we were going to do about making your own bread versus store-bought bread and all the ingredients that are in that. And but then I never got to it because apparently this is appalling to the papers in Britain that American bread is so bad.
Well, it is not the greatest.
Well, it's not, but that's why I make my own. Yeah, that and my wife bought me a bread maker several years ago, and I finally decided to start using it.
It smells great. We used to have one.
My God, it's fantastic. Tastes good, but it does go bad quicker.
It does.
It just means I have to make more bread. Oh, no. Anyway, the weight loss programs are spectacularly unsuccessful because they're designed to fail because if all these obese people lost all this weight, what would happen to global warming? You say, what do you think happens to all that weight you lose? Where does it go?
In the environment.
It turns into carbon, which you exhale via carbon dioxide, which is a greenhouse gas, which is heating up the earth and is going to kill us all.
Except for the fact that plants love carbon.
Stop that.
They love it.
Stop it.
They drink it up.
Which means that if all these people in the gym that are on these treadmills and bikes and all that crap, me walking around on the track, all we're doing is destroying the earth by doing that.
Because you're breathing heavier.
You're breathing heavier. You're exhaling carbon dioxide, which is a greenhouse gas. It's going to turn Earth into the planet Venus.
You know what I think? I think these scientists are really members of a death cult.
You think they're that smart?
I just think they just want humans to die. Just die.
See, I come from an angle of never attribute to intelligence and malevolence anything that can be attributed to stupidity.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of that.
And I think there's a lot more of that than there is anything else. Speaking of stupidity, we have made the official move.
We did.
Rosamund Pike is no longer the WTF babe of the show.
Yeah, no longer a show babe.
And this was driven home to us this week, right? This was driven home to us this week. You want to explain to people why it was... We've been toying with it.
Well, she's just made some very strange decisions and what she's been dressing like and kind of how she's behaved. I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's a turnoff, Dave.
She showed up this week. And of course, apparently I'm a homophobe anyway, so.
Sure, yeah.
She showed up this week to some sort of award show wearing a tuxedo.
Yeah.
Very mannish, which is not attractive to me. I'm not attractive to men because I'm a homophobe. Because I'm offended by two people filming themselves having sex in the Senate hearing room at the Capitol in Washington, D.C. By definition, that means I'm a homophobe. And so when I see Rosamund Pike wearing a tuxedo, it doesn't do anything for me. In fact, it kind of appalled me. In fact, what I said to Rod was, I'm just waiting for the announcement.
Yeah.
Which so far has not come, but...
That she's queer and...
You know as well as I do, it's coming, so...
Yeah.
So, we have to pick a new babe of the show. I think we're really leaning into Elizabeth Hurley.
Yeah, well, she's kind of always kind of been there. She's kind of like the... I don't know.
But I'm wondering if there's someone better. Maybe we could have a whole series. And maybe we could talk them into doing a calendar for us.
There you go. The WTF Show Babe Calendar.
Show Babe Calendar. Dear Elizabeth, we would like to invite you to join. What if she showed up?
Oh.
Wives would not be happy with that.
No.
At any rate. So we got to pick a new show on the
band. I'd have to find my DVD of Bedazzled so I could get her to sign it.
Right. You even have that DVD anymore? Because I got rid of tons of DVDs.
I do. I probably have about 300 DVDs. Yeah, I just haven't used them because I stream everything.
So they're made out of plastic, of course, which doesn't biodegrade, which means that by creating all these DVDs, all this entertainment, these entertainers that got paid for all this have just created more destruction of the planet.
Exactly.
If only they would stop breathing. And on that note, I'm Rabbi Dave.
I am Friar Rod.
And we wish you a very Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year. We will see you in January, because this has been...
What the Frock?